This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, when we discuss whether ET or whoever and whatever they are interested at all in interfering with us, but the presence of a UFO is interference. Conversing with the local populace is interference, I guess. So they are not following General Order 1.
The prime directive.
Exactly. Make it so.
Yeah, well, particularly in these schoolyard cases, like the Jerome Elementary case. This is Jerome High School in Marysville, Ohio. This is sometime back, let me see, I believe it was 1954. And there's 60 children out on the playground when this UFO hovers about 500 feet up there. It's very bright, so bright, you know, sometimes you have to shield your eyes. Has little portholes around it. And the kids finally realize, you know, this thing is circling the school for a good amount of time before the kids finally alert the teachers. The principal comes running out, Rodney Warwick, and he looks up and sees this thing. He says, he's never seen anything like it before or since. It's very bright. He calls out another teacher. As soon as she comes out, this thing darts away at very high speed. Talk about, you know, interfering. This object sent down a shower of what we now know as her term, angel hair. Back then, they really didn't know what it was, but it's this cotton candy kind of wispy-like substance. And we don't know what it is, perhaps UFO exhaust. I don't think so, because it's pretty darn rare. But there was a ton of it, and it came pouring down over the school for the next 45 minutes, completely covering specifically the school and the area around it, about several miles. And enough where they could gather this stuff up. They were rolling it up in, you know, little gelatinous balls that turned their skin green. Freaked one of the teachers out. She washed her hands off very quickly. The other guy, Rodney Warwick, left this green substance on his hands, and it eventually just kind of sublimated and evaporated and went away. They did send a sample to the local newspaper, who sent it off to the local Air Force base there, which they never heard back from.
Why am I not surprised about that? Why did people ever continue to do that? I mean, oh, let's send the sample to the Air Force. Because why? So that we can never see it again, ever?
You know? Yeah, well, it's interesting because these cases do sometimes draw federal interest, interest from our government, which is pretty darn interesting. Certainly that was true in this Jerome Elementary School. There was another case, gosh, I think it was the next year, yeah, just October 1955 in North Carolina, Whitsett Elementary School, same type of thing. Bunch of students are out there when eight kind of metal spherical objects are whizzing around the school, and they drop this enormous amount of angel hair, and they're scooping it up. One of the kids picks it up, and he's about to put it in his mouth. The teacher's like, no, no, no. Too late. The kid eats it anyway. He's like, ew, it tasted salty. It did not taste good. But they did send a sample of this, not to the Air Force this time, but to Burlington Labs, who weren't able to identify it and said, you should probably send this to a biologist. We think it's probably maybe spider webs. So they did. And the spider web guy's like, no, this is not spider webs. The fibers are way too even. There's no evidence of spiders at all in here. And you know, you saw that many spider webs coming down over the school. There should have been spiders in them.
And there maybe it's like what they convert their trash to or something, you know, like when they take off, they just got to, like, you know, flush the system or something. Yeah. And that's what comes out, you know.
I honestly think it's like some sort of show. I don't know. I'm only speculating, but it's pretty rare. There are a number of cases, but given the number of sightings we have, angel hair cases are statistically insignificant. The number of cases is 50, 100, maybe a little bit more than that. But
it's either that or some kind of slag or something like that that resembles something more like that you see at some metal work foundry or something. you get those two things, but you don't seem to get anything in between, like refined bars or microcircuits or anything like that, you know?
You know what I wonder here is how come we had most of those or all of those angel hair sightings years and years ago? How recent have we seen cases like this?
Ah, that's a good question. I'd have to look into that. I haven't heard of any recent cases. I'm sure there are some out there. I know there are recent schoolyard cases. This phenomenon is continuing to go on, and I found like 3 or 4 cases from this year alone, which weren't great cases. They were just people driving by a school and saw something hovering very low over the school. To me, a good case involves 50 students seeing this thing and teachers and preferably some adult witnesses.
I'm thinking here we should recruit our special correspondent, William Puckett, to look into that for a future appearance on After the Paracast.
That's not a bad idea. I can think maybe of one reason now. Every kid in school's got a cell phone. There'd be no shortage of pictures. If it happened now, it would be all over the news everywhere. You couldn't keep it. Just, there's no way that you could make it go away.
Yeah, there was a recent one in 2018, I believe it was, over West Nusa School. This is actually in Indonesia. And they did get pictures of it. A number of these cases do involve photographic evidence. There was a Hotchkiss High School. This object kept showing up over a period of days. They filmed it. There was another case in Moline, Illinois, at the Sacred Heart Elementary School, where a police officer was on the scene, and he had a film camera and was able to film one of these objects for a good half minute, 30 seconds or so. And sure enough, the Air Force was very interested in his case.
And let me guess, we'll just let the Air Force analyze it, and that was the last anyone saw of it.
You can actually go online and look at it. It's just kind of this little, for what we've got today. But yeah, he was visited by men in black as well who threatened him and were very interested in this case, as well as, U.S. Air Force officers. Whenever anyone gets, good evidence, it's much more likely you're going to be visited by the men in black.
Well, they are the galaxy protectors, the men in black. I wanted to ask you something because you mentioned it briefly before. Your book covers schoolyard UFO cases going back to as long as 150 years ago. Looking that far, what precisely were they seeing then?
The only case prior to 1950 was the one I already mentioned, the Burritt College case in Tennessee, and it was just lights, which is pretty unusual for a schoolyard case. Most of them involved metallic objects with portholes and colored lights on them and this sort of thing. So that was the only case I could find that predated the modern age of UFOs.
Well, I imagine, though, there were some, and I'd have to go back and look through some of these Magonia files that I've got here, but before there was an organized school system, the church did a lot of educating. So kids would go to school and learn in church. That's where the higher centers were. And there were lots of sightings around churches in the old days.
That's interesting. I haven't looked into that. But I do know that there's a lot of mythology about students or children being visited by fairies and things like this, which could definitely be connected. Hard to say. I haven't really studied that sort of thing in depth because I'm just overwhelmed by how many schoolyard cases there are going on right here.
So, say since the dawn of the modern age anyways. So right. We're dealing with our typical saucer occupants of some kind or our typical saucer craft. Maybe there aren't any actual occupants or beings that are seen at the time, but we still are dealing with what seem to be called flying saucers back in the day, mostly, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Your typical, you get all kinds of shapes and sizes, certainly spheres, saucers, football shapes, cigars. Sometimes there's windows, sometimes not. Egg-shaped, usually silver or metallic, but sometimes white. All different types of shapes.
I've got a question for you to pick up on the next segment. Preston Dennett's Schoolyard UFO Encounters. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Adam Baratta, author of the book Gold is a Better Way. It became a national bestseller. It's now become a movement. My member site went live 1 year ago, and since that time, gold is up $250. It's outperforming the highest flying stock market in history by 15%. And for the first time, I'm opening up my live gold summit to non-members. This is a $1,500 ticket for free. Join me and my over 5,000 members via live stream on August 14th and learn the secrets to the next gold boom. The event is for investors with over $100,000. If that's you, text the words Gold Summit to 49776. That's the words Gold Summit to 49776. Get your $1,500 ticket for free for our August 14th live event now. Text Gold Summit to 49776 and join the movement. Text the words Gold Summit to 49776. That's the words Gold Summit to 49776.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, we know that a lot of these schoolyard UFO encounters, Preston Dennett, involve both adults and kids. But do we find at all that the kids are seeing something different from what adults traditionally report under these circumstances?
No. What we're finding is basically the same types of things. When teachers and adults are witnesses along with the children, they describe exactly what the children are seeing. Children's testimonies, generally speaking, match up. There are minor differences, which we expect to see and we do see when there's a large mass sighting. People's testimonies don't match up perfectly, which I think argues towards the veracity of the account. If it matches too perfectly, it's clearly they're conspiring together to kind of pull up a hoax. In these cases, there's no evidence of that. Children will stick to their testimony decades and decades later, you know, with the Broadhaven incident and the Westall incident. And I think the Crestview as well, they put up memorials because this had such a profound effect on the children. As far as, you know, the ETs being seen, you get all kinds. You know, there's short beings, tall beings. Grays are not super prominent. Here's a really interesting humanoid case. This occurred on May 6, 1977 at Ocean Knoll Elementary School in Encinitas, California. A school teacher and about 15 students were out there on the playground, and this object comes out of the sky, hovers over the playground, and gets lower and lower, and it starts to descend into a canyon right next to the school. And it stops and hovers in place at about eye level so all the students can see. And it's got this huge picture window. And through the picture window, all the students and the teacher could see humanoids. And it was very brief. This thing comes down for landing. About an hour later, it comes up again. And they see it again. And it stops again for longer this time. One of the students even has binoculars. And they describe these beings as having kind of lumpy faces or wearing masks. Didn't get really great descriptions on what they exactly looked like, but clearly not human.
I want to ask you something that occurred to me as you were talking. We have sightings where the adults and the children see essentially the same thing, you know, beyond considerations of human error. But when children see something all by themselves, no adults around, it's easy for parents to say, oh, they're just kids. They don't take those things seriously. And maybe we should.
Yeah, I totally agree. Certainly the children have a hard time with this. In the Rua Zimbabwe case, the whole dynamic of the children, the teachers, and the parents caused quite a bit of friction. Some of the children came home, they weren't believed, and it caused all kinds of problems with them. The parents come to the school and were very upset because some of their children were pretty traumatized, and the teachers were trying to deny the whole thing at first. It definitely causes problems, and I think this is because how we view children as being somehow inferior to adults. Yes, they're not as worldly. Their awareness is not as developed. They're still learning. But in essence, they are just little adults. There's no reason not to trust their testimonies, particularly when you've got a large group of students, not just one or two, but, you know, dozen, 40, 50. The largest viewed cases number up to 400 students. So when you're seeing that many, I mean, it becomes impossible to deny that something's going on. Like the case in New Zealand at Richmond School, 400 students. This is in March of 1970. And two teachers saw this huge black object hovering right over the playground. They couldn't tell how high up it was, but it was huge. It covered like a third of the sky. Everyone's mouth was just dropped open. Everyone was wide-eyed. They couldn't believe it. This thing hung there for a good 10 minutes. And this is not an isolated location. There was an airport next door, not too far away, about 2 miles away. Should have been able to see it. Said they didn't. No one else reported anything except the people who were directly at the school. 400 witnesses and two teachers don't know what it is. One of the students comes running up to the teacher. Is that a UFO? Teacher's like, yep, it is. I don't know.
And yet we still have insufficient scientifically valid material evidence to satisfy those skeptics who require that level of evidence in order to believe that such things are taking place. And this is really curious to me because I do believe that such things are taking place, that young people are having genuine experiences, and that alien visitation is a reality. I make no bones about it. This is something that I do believe happens. And yet I can't point to any particular individual. So let's say think of this whole group of people that's out there. It's like this family of people that have this common experience of an extremely profound thing in their lives, and yet they have no way to prove to each other that it really happened. You know, one of them from Australia could come to the, and talk to someone in Africa or the United States or Canada, and we'd be going, well, yeah, I believe it happens, but do I really know for sure it happened to you, or are you just making it up? And so the aliens themselves, they could clear all this up really easily, but they don't. And that's the real curiosity here. They come down and they do this, but they don't leave us with sufficient evidence to say, yes, the messages we delivered are genuine. They're for real. Pay attention. It's more like it's a puzzle for the rest of us to figure out.
Well, okay, that's General Order 1A, which is screw with their minds.
Yeah, there does seem to be that aspect, and it's very frustrating. There is physical evidence in a number of these cases. Certainly in the Westall case, there was landing traces. There was another case in 1972. This was in Middelburg, South Africa, where an object landed on the tennis courts of the Rosemead High School and was seen by a number of people and left these unexplainable marks on the tennis court. Well, tore them up completely. A lot of people came to look at it, and there was no consensus on how this damage could have been caused. They found part of the tennis courts on a hill some distance away. It was also on part of the fence there. The fences were locked. The tennis courts were locked up. There was an elm tree right next to the courts, and it suffered some kind of damage as well. All the leaves fell off the tree, and some of the shoots were burned. So there's physical evidence in some of these cases, but just ambiguous enough to make you scratch your head and wonder.
Definitely. Yeah, well, we're coming up to the next break, and maybe we've got to get into some more of these cases after the break for sure.
And I want to remind everybody that Preston Dennett is going to be on the road. And next year he's going to be one of the featured speakers at the UFO Con 2020. February 20th through 23rd in South San Francisco, California. Okay? So if you're going to San Francisco around that time, it might be fun. The weather is really nice there. Kind of on the cool side compared to what we get in Arizona. But I like San Francisco in the winter. No snow there or anything like that. More to come with Preston Dennett, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Attorney General William Barr is expressing anger over the apparent suicide of Jeffrey Epstein while in federal custody. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's John Clements.
In a written statement from the Department of Justice, Attorney General William Barr is quoted as saying, "I was appalled to learn Jeffrey Epstein was found dead from an apparent suicide while in federal custody. Mr. Epstein's death raises serious questions that must be answered." The press release went on In addition to the FBI's investigation, I have consulted with the Inspector General, who is opening an investigation into the circumstances of Mr. Epstein's death. There is now a report that the 66-year-old Epstein was not on watch in his cell at the Manhattan Correctional Facility.
A U.S. soldier is dead after being killed on a mission in Iraq. The U.S. military says the soldier was on a mission with Iraqi forces at the time. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And one more thing. Preston Dennett will also continue discussions with this weekend's After the Paracast, which also features William Puckett's sighting update. That's going to be interesting. Randall, why don't you pick up?
Well, I liked what you were mentioning there about the alien con that's coming up there in 2020. That's Lorian Fenton's putting that together. And one of the things she does is she wants to have guests and speakers who are doing things just for her. Nobody else, something unique just to that particular convention. So I just thought I'd mention that while we've got Preston on. And you managed to get in just under the wire to talk about all this good stuff, Preston. So let's carry on. What's your favorite case?
There's so many. I mean, probably one of my favorite cases was one that was unpublished. I interviewed the witness myself. Her name is Melody. And this occurred in March of 1966, same time as the Hillsdale, Michigan case. It was a big year for schoolyard encounters. This occurred at Point Elementary School in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a very interesting case because it involves landings and humanoids. And what happened was recess started, and Melody, her friends would usually play four square right there on the playground. But for whatever reason, she and about six kids exactly, decided that they would play tag. And so they ran out beyond the cement playground there onto the football field and were out there at the edge of the school and had just started to play tag when she looks down on the ground and is like, guys, look at this. Look at these footprints. And they were weird because they were barefoot, but they were half normal size. Very small, with a kind of a really deep rounded heel, very pointy toes, bipedal, clearly not an animal, but couldn't be human. They didn't look human. And they're all kind of like looking at him and wondering what it could be and where they came from. When someone looked up beyond the school border there and saw lights in the trees, white lights, very bright. And Melody's first thought, and the other kids, was like, oh, ice cream truck. Because, you know, they have
kids.
Ice cream trucks.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So completely innocent, like, oh, yeah, okay.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
There's no roads there where they were looking. There's a a farmhouse in that general area, but this was kind of a slightly hilly area with little trees, groves of trees and stuff. So they're thinking ice cream truck, even though they kind of know it can't be, but they're going to check it out anyway. So all six of them, three boys, three girls, go running towards the lights and come around the trees there and stop in their tracks because they're right up to it at this point. They stop in a row. They're all standing there in a row, and it's not an ice cream truck. There's no music. It's not, you know, got typical ice cream truck look at all. It's actually a sort of a silver flying saucer, typical, with white lights on top, perhaps portholes. She's not certain. It was landed on the ground, and no sooner had they seen this thing when they realized that there was something standing next to it, maybe 20 feet away from them, a very short figure, 4 feet tall maybe. It was very muscular looking, appeared to have maybe a jumpsuit or not. They couldn't quite tell, but it was very dark colored, kind of not black, but dark gray perhaps. And she said the body was like a gymnast. You could clearly see that there was musculature there. Had a very large head, much larger than ours, very large dark eyes. The head was bald. And as soon as the kids, you know, run up there, this thing turns and looks them in the eye and never takes its eye off of them as it starts walking slowly towards its craft. It passes by a cow. You know, there's four cows there on the farm and one standing by a fence right where this ET presumably is. And it walks by the cow, touches the cow. The cow falls over unconscious, perhaps dead. She doesn't know. They're freaking out. At this point, the teacher appears behind them. Miss Ohlendorf, and she is absolutely hysterical. She sees everything. She can see the craft. She can see the ET, and she is absolutely panicking, takes the children and grabs them and pulls them away and drags them back into the school, screams at everyone in the playground, none of who apparently saw this at first, but now did, saw the lights as, you know, she's screaming at them to get back into the school. She pulls them all back into her class. All the kids rush to the window because it's facing where this area is, and they can still see the lights, the humanoid they can't see. And she starts closing all the shutters. She calls for the other teachers. She calls the principal. She's in a complete panic. Apparently, other teachers saw this thing too because they decided they were going to send the kids home. They put them all into the gymnasium, got the school buses together. The object is still out there at this point. And right before the school bus is taken away, one of the kids screams out, "There it goes!" Because, you know, there's windows in the gymnasium, but they're high up. And he saw it take off through the window there and straight up. And that was it. It was never talked about after that. The students certainly talked about it, but the teachers absolutely refused to discuss it.
I mean, you'd think that would be something that they should put on a plaque and stick it behind one of those glass things in the school somewhere to mark the day that their school was visited by an alien or something. That's how amazing that sounds. And yet they don't, like, this never happened.
Exactly. I mean, they did put a plaque up in Westall, but not here. And she's still in touch with some of the other witnesses, by the way. I'm trying to track them down.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So I'm very excited about that. But yeah, it's a great case and kind of typical of these schoolyard cases. But amnesia does come up in cases. There's one case involving a very large group of students, 40 or 50, and teachers. Only two people remember. And one of the students, you know, they had a party some years after the event. What happened was this, they thought it was a plane coming in. It wasn't a plane. It had no wings, no tail. It was silver, had no windows on it, and it looked like it was coming in for a landing. Instead, it releases all these smaller, like, discs, which start whirling around, and the teachers panic and call all the students to come back inside. Timothy, he's the main witness. That's the pseudonym. Following this incident, he kind of forgot about it. Apparently, everybody did. It was years later, he was in high school, and he still knows a bunch of these kids. He's at a party with them, and he's like, hey, you guys, remember that time a UFO hovered over the school? And no one remembered. He's like, I'm sure you were there, and you were, and you were. And he found, finally, one student who was there, and he's like, yeah, I do remember that. He remembered it slightly differently. But apparently there was amnesia with a lot of these students. And other cases reflect the same type of pattern.
Or maybe what we're dealing with is some kind of Mandela effect. Like maybe that one student, you know, remembers it from his universe and something happened. I mean, this is weird enough that these aliens are happening. Something seems to be going on with these, for lack of a better term, dimensional portals and all of that stuff. Like, who knows? Maybe they're connected somehow. It's the same phenomena. Maybe they come from there. Maybe they bring people, maybe they transport people from dimension to dimension just to see what happens and study our behavior.
Yeah, it's very hard to say what's going on. Like, take this case, Downey Elementary School here in California. Witnesses was, I believe she's 7 years old, you know, a tiny little girl, comes home from school and says, Daddy, Daddy, something hovered over the playground. And he started talking to her and realized she had seen something very unusual. Took her back to the playground and got the whole story out of her. Apparently, she and all the other students on the playground, no teachers saw this. I don't know how that's possible because they saw this for quite some time, and they're very young students, saw this, or it was a spherical-shaped object, metallic. It started up very high up there and came lower and lower and lower and had these kind of colored lights all around the perimeter, a very bright, bright center. And she said, Daddy, I felt like it was looking at us. It was coming.
You know, here's looking at you, kid, because we got a break. We got to look at these things. And then we'll be back here with Preston, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
A cliffhanger from Preston Dennett as we were talking about yet another case, schoolyard UFO encounters. Preston.
Yeah, it's an amazing case, and
Well, she thought it was looking at her, okay? So this is pretty bizarre because we get this a lot, right? People think that they're being watched.
Yeah, she had that distinct impression, as did some of the other students. Now, it turns out the witness's father, his mother-in-law works at the school as a teacher. So he goes straight to her, of course, and she's like, yeah, we know about it. All the students in my class were talking about it, and she asked the other teachers, and sure enough, the students were talking about it. So he goes around and talks to the teachers and some of the students who all described the same exact thing. This thing was still out there, by the way, when the students went back into the school and it wasn't there. The student said, oh, I think it's going to come back tomorrow, Dad. It didn't. That was the only time it showed up. But it did seem to come with some sort of agenda because it came very low over the school and hovered there for a very long time. And the students felt like it was looking at them and was aware of them. So I'm not sure what is going on here, but it was a really remarkable sighting.
Well, have you actually talked to any of these witnesses yourself in any of your travels?
Not nearly as many as I'd like. I traced about 4 or 5 of the cases where I was able to interview the witnesses myself. Some cases I did find, like the recordings that were not publicly revealed. So that was almost like being able to interview them. Not quite. I didn't get to ask questions. But the majority of these cases were drawn from, you know, MUFON, New Fork, APRO, QFOS, NICAP, and a lot from the UFO News Clipping Service and old newspapers. Patrick Gross wrote a book called The Fifth Horseman of the Apocalypse. It's a multi-volume book with all the sightings from the 1950s and 60s, particularly, and some in the 70s. So that was a great resource. I found a lot of major researchers have uncovered these types of cases. So that was another great resource.
Yeah, I've seen it covered just, you know, briefly, but I don't actually recall any other books where the whole book is just dedicated to this particular aspect of UFO encounters and sightings. I really like the idea, and I know this one's going to end up on my bookshelf, not that I don't already have enough of them to deal with, but what can I say, folks? I can't help myself. This is definitely going to end up being on my nightstand here.
Yeah, I think it's an important book. Certainly the children are very impacted by their sightings. We talked about that earlier. Another thing I forgot to mention was a number of these students, I mean, like the case in Bankery, Scotland, involved a young student who was out playing football with his friends, and this object hovers very low They all saw it. They discussed it for a while, decided it wasn't a weather balloon. Well, he went on to become Scotland's leading UFO researcher. And a number of other people have written books, and they've become very interested in metaphysics or quantum physics, astronomy, space travel, and, you know, go on the radio. One guy's a frequent guest on Coast to Coast.
That's really interesting that you should mention that, because our previous guest, Christian Kroma, we talked to him about exactly that, how alien, well, the whole subject of UFOs, ufology in general, has inspired a lot of people to really think about how those things can be possible and how they work, and to try to build them or think about the possibilities for the future. What does it mean?
Yeah, I think that speaks to really one of their agendas, which is waking us up to our own latent abilities and, you know, what we can do. And not only technological progress, which definitely does seem to be a thing, but spirituality and our own abilities to do, say, astral travel.
That stuff sounds like we're getting out there into the fringe, but people do have these experiences, whatever they exactly are. Well, I'm not entirely sure. But one thing that does seem to be the case with young people as well is that they are more open to those kinds of experiences. So sometimes young people seem to experience their own out-of-body experiences, or they have what they seem to think are some sort of telepathic ability, like to be able to sense. They're very empathic as well. So maybe that's what they're doing when they go to these schools, is these young people, they can relate to them. They can communicate to them, you know, with them on that level.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Maybe they're just more open-minded to some of these subjects, where we'd be like, no, no way. And there's one case where there was this sort of rainbow-colored object, and a number of students saw it, and he's looking at it, had a sense of timelessness, apparently had missing time, because the next thing he knows, recess is over. He's usually first in line back in the school, and he was ran and found out he was last in line. Everyone's looking at him strange. He just appeared out of nowhere. And following this weird kind of missing time incident, he had a dream that he believes is recall of what happened during this missing time. And he remembered being presumably aboard this craft. He couldn't see these figures or whoever was the occupants. He had the sense they were short. But they were giving him these weird tests that involved telekinesis. They had this kind of box-like contraption floating in front of him and told him he had to move it with his mind and figure out how to move it. The whole trick, the answer to the question was, you have to move the box inside out. And he saw a bunch of other students from that school on board the UFO. They did not remember. He doesn't really go into that. It's a brief report from, I believe, MUFON or Newfork. So I wasn't able to interview the witness.
That is really interesting, though, because I mean, I don't want to cut into your time on the show, but, you know, with my own experience when I was young, but maybe on After the Paracast, we can cover a little bit of it, and you can give me some idea what you think and how it compares, because, I mean, you're describing stuff that I'm going, yeah, okay, well, I, all right.
Sounds familiar, huh?
I'm thinking, okay, well, why should it only happen to me? I mean, okay, I can't be the only one in the world, so I guess it happens to other people too. This is really cool that we are talking about these cases and bringing them out.
Yeah, I certainly heard this in other cases, particularly involving children being taught this sort of thing. And it didn't stop there. After that test, they gave him another test where they were kind of throwing these, what he perceived as firebrands, sticks of fire, kind of, at him, and he had to sort of push them away with his mind.
Use the force, Luke.
And it was a bizarre experience, but yeah, it's something I've heard before. And there are other cases. There's one case involving a lady who had a series of encounters over a period of years at her school. She says lots of students were being taken, and UFOs were landing out there in the Walnut Grove behind the school. And regularly, these gray ETs would sort of put on a screen memory and come into the playground and pretending to be little children and talk to the kids. And this ET would sit next to her and teach her stuff about mathematics and stuff she didn't understand. And a few times it's like, come with us now. You should come with us. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to go. And apparently other kids did remember this. They had to close down that part of the the school, they forbid the kids to go to the Walnut Grove. There was some sort of weird event where kids got injured, and they had to call officials. So she's still trying to piece together what happened there, but she remembers multiple experiences over a period of years, starting from kindergarten all the way through fourth grade.
Wow. I mean, it's hard to think that if something like that is actually going on, that there isn't some definite intent to study our behavior over time.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Schools are definitely a UFO attractor. We know of other areas that are like this, like, say, mines, copper mines, iron mines, gold mines.
Those military bases.
Right.
Yeah, reservoirs.
Installations.
Like key points of our civilization. And schools are a major part of our socialization. They are the reason that we think the way that we do, mostly.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's definitely an agenda there, for sure.
But I wonder sometimes here, if they want to see what's happening at the schools, how many times do they have to do the same thing before they've accomplished their purpose? I can see, checking out nuclear power plants, power plants, regular power. We can see a reason there to check into our development scientifically. But schools every single day around the world or something like that, there are plenty of sightings, but we worry about the repetition here unless ET is just sending the students over and they're learning how to do reconnaissance on other planets and they pick Earth. Why did they pick Earth? I have no idea. In fact, we don't know about anything of UFO motives unless they tell us. And even if they tell us, it could be a lie. More to come with Gene Randall and Preston. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.